as we try to deliver a message. I certainly want the Lord to be pleased with everything that is said and done. But before we try to preach this morning, is there anything upon your hearts that needs to be said or done? Anything at all? Us to a portion of reading. We're not going to stay here long, but we're going to start here. I believe it'll help us get started this morning at least. We're going to look first at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and then you need to hold your finger in about this place because we're going to come back to Luke. I've got quite a bit of reading this morning, but something I feel like needs to be done. I'll be honest with you, I tried this week to get the Lord to give me a sermon about being thankful, but doesn't always work that way. I heard someone say something about a preacher once that he wasn't a Hallmark card preacher, and well, that's quite true. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't, and this is not one of those occasions, I don't guess. Maybe a little bit, we'll see, but not entirely. But you all know that I argue with the Lord probably more than I should. I preached a sermon on it a few weeks ago, and we know that doesn't always go very well for me. Actually, it never goes well for me. So I tried not to argue too much with Him this week, but we still had our rounds, especially being out of the pulpit last Sunday. We had a good go of it. Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at just three verses here. The 19th is where we're going to start. It says, "Then came to Him His mother and His brethren," and we're referencing Jesus, that's who they're going to, "and it could not come at Him for the press, for all the people that were around. And it was told Him by certain which said, 'Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee.' And He answered and said unto them, 'My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it.'" So hold your finger in Luke, because we're going to come back to Luke. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read a parable. And then I'm going to go back to Luke and I'm going to read the same parable from Luke's perspective. If you didn't know this, the Gospels, in most of them, they run along the same course. If you read something in Matthew, you can go to Luke and Mark. And John's a little bit different, but John does account for some of the same things that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. Matthew, Luke, and Mark, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, however you want to say them. They do run along the same course. But all of you know this, and I'm just going to say it just as a free aside. If we were to watch a car accident, we would all see it differently. You might see something that I wouldn't see, and I might see something that you wouldn't see. But overall, what we would be able to say is there was a car crash. So that's kind of what you're looking at. You're looking at something for four people's perspective. I've always been told there's one side, the other side, and then there's the truth. And usually that's the case. Everybody has their own spin on things. If you've ever played that little game called telephone, you start out with one thing, and it might be Stella has a yellow cupcake, and by the time you get done, it would be the Dukes of Hazzard fly fast. And you never know what you're going to say, or never know what's going to happen, or what's going to come out. But for the most part, these Gospels, they all link up and are most likely majorly the same. But I still want to read both accounts this morning. Matthew chapter 22, and it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said," this is the first verse, "says, 'The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went into their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth," or he was mad, "and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore in the highway, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want you to remember what Matthew's account says. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Again, like I said, I got a lot of reading this morning, but it's just what we've got to do to get going. Luke chapter 14. We're going to start our reading in verse 15. It says, And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then saith he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to look at the 22nd verse of Luke chapter 14. And it says, And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. My sermon title this morning, you all know that I tend to do that quite often. My sermon title this morning would be, Come and Have a Seat at the Table. Come and have a seat at the table. I'm fixing to really embarrass my family really quickly. I got in the car the last time that I preached a couple Sundays ago, and I said, you know what, no story is ever safe with you when you get behind the pulpit. That's true. I usually don't use them on other people. I will pick on my family until I'm blue in the face because they're my family. And, well, frankly, I don't live with any of them anymore, so I get that opportunity. One of our favorite movies as a family is For Richer or Poor. Now, most of you all have probably seen it. It's an older movie back in the 90s. I like it. It's probably not one that I'm going to sit down and just recommend all of you go and watch. It's a good movie. It's funny. I like funny movies. And Tim Allen is one that stars in it, and he's been out working all day. There's a huge backstory on why he is where he is, but he's ended up working for a Mennonites of the Amish, and they've had just a long day. Tim Allen was a banker back in New York City, so he didn't really know what it was like to have a real long day out in the fields and working the ground. And you see this scene, and you get to the end, and he's just slumped over this thing that's tilling up the ground. And he's just as tired as he can be. And most of you all know about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, or maybe a little bit before, we all like to have dinner. I know that I do, and sometimes I don't always get it at that time. Sometimes it's later, sometimes it's before, sometimes it's not at all. But Tim Allen, he goes into the house, and he gets in his chair, and he slumps down, and he's just, after a long day, he's just had enough. Well, I'm guessing that he thinks he's going to have a real good meal sit down before him. And I enjoy this part of the movie every single time. They come out with the food, and they place it in front of him, and what he is looking at is a big pile of slop. If you just want my honest opinion, that's all he's looking at. And after working all day long, he looks down and he just groans. Like, this is what I have to eat. This is what you've given me after all of this time. Now, you've got to watch the movie to really get the full effect. But the look on Tim Allen's face is one like you can't recreate. You say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with the Bible? Well, as we were thinking about this message today, I was thinking about all of us having a seat at a table. Most of you all, I'm sure, have gone to somewhere that you aren't necessarily invited, but somebody asked you to go along with them, and you were kind of nervous the whole way going. You were thinking, well, when I get there, are they going to have enough for me too?
Is there going to be room for me? Will anybody care that I never let anybody talk to me? I'm one of those people, I can talk to a brick wall, and most of the time I start getting answers back from it. That's just my style. So usually when I go places, I don't get very nervous because I'll talk to anybody about anything. But most of us, when we're going somewhere new or someplace we've never been, again, if you've ever been invited to a dinner party, the whole time you're thinking, well, I hope I enjoy the food. I hope they don't cook something I don't like. Just a general disclaimer, I always never tell people what I do and I don't like, but generally I don't eat mushrooms. So I never tell people that. If they have them, guess what I do? I pick around them. But most of us have had that fear. They're going to sit down at the table, and what we're going to have is something we're not going to enjoy. And we're going to have to sit there the entire time and pretend like that we enjoy it. You ever had to do that? This is real good. I just love it. Look it off your fork. Just wonderful. I'm enjoying this meal so much. And on the inside you're groaning, thinking, I wish to the goodness this would just go down easily. Well, as we were looking at these verses of Scripture, the first thing that I read for you was from Jesus. All of this today was written in red. There are a few cases where Luke and Matthew put their own commentary in from other people and what they heard. The first thing that Jesus said in those first Scriptures that we read to you, somebody had said, your mother and your brethren, they're trying to get to you, but they can't because they're so faithful. You know what Jesus' answer was? My mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and they do it. You know what Jesus was saying by that? Those that are my brethren, my family, they are the ones that are my followers, or those basically that have been saved by me. They're mine. They're my family. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. They're my family. They're the ones that I love. He loved his earthly family, I have no doubt. If you read the Scriptures, you know that Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, his mother was there. And she loved Jesus. But Jesus made a statement. He said, those that hear my word, God's word, and they do it, they're my family. They're mine. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with anything about sitting down at the table? We go to Matthew chapter 22, to the first account of this supper, or this spread that's been laid out. Now, it's called the Great Marriage Supper. Now, see what has happened. It's a parable. Parables are stories. They're teachable stories. And a lot of people take this and they use it in another way. Well, I want all of us to understand something today. Every one of us that has a sound mind will be bidden to come. Every one of us. We'll all be invited. But only a few will go. Now, we're coming up on the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. Most of you all are already, or if you haven't, you're going to start soon, trying to figure out when everybody can get together to have the get-together. Some of you will do it on the actual holiday. Some of you won't. Some of you will do it days or weeks before. You won't have it at all. You know, my family's getting in that stage where it's getting harder to work around everybody's schedules. It's going to get even worse, and you all know that. And I was thinking about this supper that this king has invited many to. And he goes to ask his servant, he says, go out and get all that I've asked to come. Get them to come and join me in this supper, this marriage feast. Now, if you know anything about Jewish feasts or suppers or marriage suppers, they were great big deals. It wasn't like you go down to Burger King, get a sandwich and some fries and sit down and that was it. No, they had made a big deal out of it. Sometimes their feasts or their suppers, they would last for days on end. And they would enjoy their fellowship and their time together. Well, the king goes out and goes and gets his servant and says, you go out and bid them to come. And the first person that he goes to, well, I can't. I've got this to do. Goes to the next person and they say, well, you know, I can't because, you know, I've got this to do. Goes to the next one. You know, I would come, but have you ever had that happen to you? You've invited people to come and do something. And all at once, everybody has an excuse. I want to tell off on myself for just a moment. I can make excuses with the best of them.
I can make excuses like nobody's business. I will make excuses for everything. And I think we're all guilty about doing that. I know for myself, if I don't want to do something, I will make sure that I have an excuse not to do it. These people had been invited. They had been asked to come. Let's go back to it for just a moment. Matthew 22. He said in the 8th verse, "Then thus saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." Basically, all of those that I've asked to come, and I want you to realize there's an underlying meaning to all of this. You realize that Jesus, our first job, was to take the gospel to his people, the Jewish nation. They were the ones that were supposed to accept him or to believe him. And guess what they did? They rejected him. They turned him away. That's who he was talking about. He's bidding them to come. He's their king. And yet they've turned him away. None of them will come and dine with the Master. So, what does he have to do? He turns to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish. And you know, it really saddens me sometimes when I read through these scriptures and I read how we're almost described. The halt, the blind, the maimed. The Jewish were the chosen. They were the ones that God had given Israel to. They were the ones that were His holy people. They were the ones that were supposed to love Him. Yet, they rejected Him. So what does the Master do? He says, you go find some people. You go find anybody going to the highways and the hedges, and you find somebody to come to this supper. I've made a huge spread, and there's nobody here. Nobody's made it. Nobody's came. Everybody has an excuse. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all and as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The 12th verse says, and he saith unto him, friend, or he was talking about the one that came with no wedding garment. He says, friend, how come comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said he to the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I want to say something for my family in our Thanksgiving meals. Usually we don't dress up. You really come in whatever you got on, t-shirt, shorts, whatever you have. But you see, back then when you came to the wedding, you were dressed up. You were ready for it. You had put your all into this. Like I said, it was a great thing. They were gathered in. They were coming out in the best that they had. And they'd gone out both bad and good. And they found everybody they could to come and have a seat at this table. But they found one. The king goes and he looks through the crowd and he sees the one. He says, you don't have a wedding garment. You're not prepared. How come you're here? And he takes him, he binds him, and he casts him into the lake of fire. Go back to Luke chapter 14, the other account of this that we're reading this morning. Luke chapter 14. Now, when you read this account, we never hear anything about a marriage supper. Matthew calls it a great marriage feast or supper. Now, Luke doesn't necessarily look at it that way. He says it was a great supper, and he bade many. And then it was supper time. I didn't live during this time period. Maybe some of you all did. I don't know. When Mom had supper done, she didn't have to go out and ring her dinner bell, and we all had to gather in. I don't remember that. I do remember as a kid when we would be playing outside, they would come out and they would get us. It was dinner time and we better come. I wasn't like most kids nowadays. If you know, you ate when your mom had it ready, you were going to go eat. Supper was had, it was ready. And you really didn't wait very long. Every now and then, if I didn't like what she cooked, she might make me a little something else, but that didn't happen very often. But it says it was supper time. So go to those that were bidden, or go to those that were invited, and say, come, for all things are now ready. Come to the great supper that I've prepared for you. I've invited you, and the invitation has been extended over and over and over, and now is the time. It's ready. Now, if you've been around a Baptist church very long, you say the word food, everybody runs. We like to eat. As humans, we do. Especially if there's a good meal prepared. And so these people, the servant goes out, and here we go again. The same thing. It's the same story. But now we have the excuses. And they were all with one consent, began to make an excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. And you know, I must needs go and see it. I pray that I'll be excused. And I said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them, or I go to see them. And I pray that you'll have me excused. And I said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Another excuse that was made. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. So I want all of us this morning to envision a table. All of us have seen a table. If you haven't, look up here. That's what a table looks like, just for your visual reference. Now imagine today that there are chairs around this table. Now, it wouldn't take very long if I set chairs around this table that it would be full. There's not a lot of room around that. But we could get a few around that table. If you walk into any of our Sunday school rooms this morning, you'll see a bunch of tables with chairs around. Now, if I were to invite all of you over to my apartment this afternoon for a dinner, first of all, you wouldn't have anything to eat because I don't have anything prepared. Second of all, I wouldn't have room for all of you. My apartment's not that big. But this king, the king being Jesus, has come and he's died for the entire world. He has gone and he's prepared the great supper. He's gone to prepare that for all of those in this world. You say, preacher, I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. The Bible says, whosoever will. All. So you know what that means? I believe that Christ will bid all or invite all to come to him. God is not a respecter of persons, meaning that he will call you as much as he'll call me. He will draw you just as much as he'll draw anybody else. And so we look at these scriptures, and what happens? We've got this great feast set before us. We've got this table, and I just imagine a table that is just spread, just as beautiful as you've ever seen one. Maybe the tablecloth just white as fine linen. Just beautiful, just pristine, just pressed perfectly all the way around. And the king is looking out and he says, oh, this is going to be great. There's going to be many that will come. There's going to be a whole lot that are going to come and they're going to feast with me tonight. He looks around and he says, oh, it looks beautiful. And he sends his servant out. And you know what they don't see? They don't see the table. They see the servant. They don't see the table. The servant goes and he says, it's time, won't you come? And they say, oh, I can't, because. Maybe the servant drops his head and goes to the next one. He says, oh, it's ready. Aren't you ready to come? The feast is ready for you. The king is asking for you. I can't. You know, I bought a piece of land and, you know, it needs my attention. Servant goes on a little farther, probably starting to get a little nervous, thinking, the king has got this ready. What am I going to do? There's the next one. The king's ready. There's the table. What are you going to do? Well, you know, I married a wife, so I can't come. Servant goes back. Goes back to the master. I've done what you've asked. I've went to everybody that's been invited, and they won't come. I would venture to say, Thursday afternoon-ish, if everybody in my family doesn't show up to my grandmother's house, we're going to be in for it. She's going to cook a lot, and she's going to expect somebody to be there to eat it. You know what the Bible says about Christ? You know what he is? We look at Christ
and we say that He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and I agree with all of that. But even simpler than all of those things, you know what the Bible teaches us that Christ is? He is the bread of life. If you eat of that bread, you'll never hunger again. Remember what happened to the woman at the well? She was looking for physical water. She came to Him. Began to speak with Jesus. Jesus said, if you'd asked Me, I would have given you of living water. If you'd ask, I would have given you something that would never allow you to thirst again. You know what I believe that old girl got? That she got a drink of living water. You say, preacher, you're expecting me today to come and sit at a table where there's only going to be bread and water. Most of us like some meat to go along with that, wouldn't we? But you want to know something about the table that is spread for all of us today? Is it was extended to you and I. Just bread and just water. You know what the servant does when he goes back? He goes back to the king and he says, nobody's coming. The king says, you go out in the streets and you find anybody. Just anybody. The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, whatever you can find. You go and get them and you bring them to My table. The king's table. Go and get them. And the servant goes out. And I can just imagine as he goes out in the streets and he says, the king's having a feast, won't you come and go? Somebody's going with him. The next one goes. And they're thinking, well, I don't know what this is going to be like. But I know if the king's heaven, it's going to be wonderful. The king is probably waiting. The servant goes and says, I've done as you asked. I've got everybody. I've done what you told me to do. Yet, there is room. You know the greatest thing about this parable today? It says it was extended to both bad and good. Now, if you told me this afternoon that all that I was going to have for lunch was some bread and water, I'd laugh at you. Now, I'm not saying that's what they were having to eat. It wasn't. I guarantee you it was a great feast. It was a parable. There was not an actual feast there. But I want all of us to imagine for just one moment. The excitement and the jubilation on those people's faces as they saw the table with all of the food prepared. I want you to understand something this morning. There's a table that has been spread for you. There has been. There's a table that God has set before you. Again, I couldn't fit you all around that table. But oh, He could fit you all around His. He says, yet there is room. What do you mean, preacher? It means that no matter how many come, it means who, no matter who comes, what comes, that there will be room for you. Oh, what a joy. You know, we're looking at Thanksgiving season. If I go in on Thursday and there's not room for me at the table, guess what I'll do? I'll go find somewhere else to sit. But you want to know something today? If you never sit at the table with the Lord, you will die and you will go to hell. There's a table that's spread today for every one of us. Now, I'm seated at it. I've got my spot. I'm supping with the Master. And I'm telling you what's the truth. The bread and the water is the greatest thing that I've ever had. It's better than anything that this world could ever offer you. The king had it all prepared and nobody came. So you know what he had to do? He had to go and get anybody that would listen. I'm thankful this morning that as Jesus said, my family, or those that I love, my mother and my brethren, they are those that hear the word of God and do it. You know who the Lord is sitting with at the table today? All of His family. Thursday, I'm going to sit down with a bunch of my family. But you go back to something that I said at the very first part of this message. If you've ever been somewhere where you don't know anyone, it can be scary. Again, I tell you, I'll talk to anyone. On the inside, my inclination is to run and hide. But I'll talk to anybody. I might be scared and nervous on the inside, but on the outside, you'll never know it. So maybe today, as you look at the table, it scares you a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen when I sit down at the table. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be around me. Those that seek with the Lord are all family. You know, today, as Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, there are several of us here that are members of this congregation. We call ourselves a church family. And that's not just for members. We extend our family to anybody. We love anybody and everybody. We want everybody to love us, and we want everybody to be loved by us. That's how we are. But you know, there's a difference between being a part of a physical family and being a part of the spiritual family of God. You see, not all that are invited, not all will come. You see, there were some that let it go and they thought, well, I've got more important things to do. Many are called, few are chosen. I want to read one more place to you today. And in 2 Sundays, we will have our Lord's Supper service here at Mount Calvary. It is one of my favorite services that we have. It is very solemn, very sweet, very heartbreaking in a lot of ways. You may say, preacher, how's the Lord's Supper heartbreaking? When you look at what the Lord's Supper represents, it will break your heart. You see, I believe this morning, those that are seated at that table are members of the Lord's church. You see, there's that table, and then there's the great table of the Lord. You see, there will be many that will be seated with the Lord at His table at the great marriage supper one day after a while. But there are so many that are missing out on being seated at the table to take of the Lord's supper. Now, a lot of people have different opinions on the Lord's Supper. Some think anybody can take it. I don't believe that. I believe you've got to be saved and a member of the Lord's church to do that. I believe that. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read the Lord's Supper to you today. Now, I want you to remember the supper that we were talking about at the start of this message. That is dealing with those that have not been saved and need to come to the Lord. They must be saved. If you're not, guess what? You're like the one that comes with no wedding garment. You'll be bound and cast into the lake of fire, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Once you get saved, you're able to seat not only with the Lord at His table, but you're able to seat at this table with the Lord. It says, when the hour has come, we'll start with the 14th verse. If you read this entire chapter, it makes a lot of sense about what's going on. They were fixing to take the Passover. They were making preparations for that great feast. And the 14th verse says, when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, before I go to the cross. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether it is greater he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, it is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth.
Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, today, I've told you about two different tables. The first table that I've set before you is the table of salvation. You see, many people today have circled the table. They've looked at the table. They've walked up close to the table, and they've almost sat down. And they've turned around and they've walked away. Many have. You see, that table is the most important. You say, preacher, how can that be the most important? You see, if you never take a seat with the Lord at His table, and if you were to think about this in the way that my mind works, I just see this really long table with people from all generations seated at it. But then in the back of my mind, there's another table that I see along with this one. It's when you come to the Lord and you sit down with Him as if it's just you and Him. That you're seated there together. You see, that table today is spread for everyone. There's a seat for you. If you were to come to, I don't really know where our Thanksgiving will be held this year, but if you were to come there on Thursday, I guarantee you we would find you a place to eat. We would find you a seat. We would find you some food, and I guarantee you there would be more than enough. We would find you somewhere. But as that servant came back to the master and said, I've done as you ask. I've gotten everybody, but there is still room. You see, the best thing about this table today is there's still room for you. You see, I don't know necessarily where the pecking order where I'm seated. That does not matter. But what I know is that I have a seat at that table. Now, I told you about the second table, the Lord's Supper table. It's a table that is very solemn and very special to me. It signifies what the Lord did for me at Calvary. And to seat at that table is one that I take very, very, very seriously. To be a member of the Lord's church and to seat with Him and to take of that ordinance is a wonderful thing. Now, taking of that, being a member of the Lord's church, it will not save you. There's no saving power in those things. You see, if you never meet the Lord one-on-one, you'll never be saved. But then someday, there'll be a third table. And that's when all of God's people will gather together. There'll be a marriage of the bride, which is the church, and Christ the Savior. They'll be adorned in white apparel, just like all of God's children. They'll be adorned in white. They'll have their wedding garment on. And then we'll go to the marriage supper, where we'll feast and dine with the King forevermore. And you know what He said here? He said, I'll not eat anymore. I'll not drink anything else until I eat with you in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine sitting down at the table with the Lord? Now, I've had dinner with some very interesting people over my years. Some that I cared not to ever eat with again. There's one day I'm looking forward to going and being seated at that table. I'm not a very fancy person. About the best I ever look with church clothes, that's about as good as I get. I don't get in tuxedos and get decked out to go here, there, and yonder. Some people, if you watch any of the award shows, they will dress up in clothes that cost tens of thousands of dollars more than my car will ever think about being worth. For one night. But my wedding garment will be washed white as snow. And it'll be beautiful. Prepared by Christ Himself. It was washed in His beautiful red blood. And it was made white as snow. Are you ready? Is there a seat? Are you seated at the table this morning? Are you ready to eat with the Lord? Are you ready to dine with the Lord? Again, a few weeks ago, we sang the song, Are You Ready? We don't have to sing that today, but are you ready today to go and meet the Savior? If you were to come today, where would you be? I'm going to heaven. How about you? While we stand together and while we sing.